What organ does the heart supply blood to first? Various answers came in, but they were all wrong. Everyone else tried to guess what the most important organ would be that would receive blood first. The next slide of my talk was a picture of the heart from an anatomy textbook, and there I showed the answer. The heart feeds itself first. You're listening to episode 204 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. My name is April and I'm your host. This week, we're going to be diving into, I'm just going to get right to it. We're going to be diving into a topic that I know is important for probably everybody listening. But before we dive into the topic, I want to read you a piece of an article that my mother-in-law sent me. Oh gosh, I bet it's been 3 or 4 months now. She lives in South Dakota, in Pierre, South Dakota, and it was in her newspaper and she clipped it out and she sent it to my husband and I, and it stopped me in my tracks and is so related to what we're talking about today. So I'm going to read just the first little bit of this article. It is written by a physician who practices in South Dakota, and she says, "A few years ago, I spoke at a conference for women physicians. My talk opened up with a simple question. What organ does the heart supply blood to first?" She says, "It was a deceptively simple question, but the room was silent as they all pondered what they thought was a trick question. Various answers came in, but they were all wrong. Everyone else tried to guess what the most important organ would be that would receive blood first. They tried to deduce which organ was physically closest to the heart. The next slide of my talk was a picture of the heart from an anatomy textbook, and there I showed the answer. The heart feeds itself first. The very first blood vessels that branch off from the heart at the aorta are the coronary arteries. These are the blood vessels that feed the heart and are the ones that, when blocked, cause a heart attack." So think about that. We've got this incredibly important organ in our body, the heart, and it sends blood to all our entire body. It oxygenates our entire body and sends nutrients everywhere. But before it does that, it takes care of itself first because it knows that if it's not okay, it's not able to send blood everywhere else in our body that needs it. I'm just going to like take a dramatic pause now to let that sink in. So I want you to think about yourself as that heart. And I want you to think about all the other organs and all the other tissues in your body as all the other people and roles and responsibilities that you play a role in supporting. What you do for all those people and all of the important roles that you play and the impact that they all have. And I want you to be honest and ask yourself, are you feeding yourself first? Are you making sure you're taken care of first? That is what we're going to be talking about today, but from a really interesting perspective, because a brand new factor, protective factor, has been identified in the field of psychology. And we want to dive into it today because it is incredibly supportive of what we would consider self-care within Peak Mind. So I'm excited to welcome Ashley back to the show, and we are going to dive into this topic.
Man, April, I had chill bumps when you were reading that article. And I've actually heard it before, right? You've shared it with me before. And I just, It's such a powerful illustration and such a powerful metaphor for life. And it's just, I hope that resonated with a lot of people listening. And I want to talk about selfishness mm-hmm. and self-care, because especially when I'm working with, stereotypically, it's moms who have a lot of people depending on them and a lot of moving parts, but it happens for dads too. It happens for men and women without children as well. We have these ideas about self-care. I mean, there are a lot of barriers that get in the way of it, and selfishness and not wanting to be a selfish person is one of the roadblocks that I encounter so often. So can we talk just about selfishness to start with, like what it is, where it comes from, why it's, how it gets kind of twisted up?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about when you were, and you're right, it does happen a lot of the time with women and with moms. We're socialized to be more nurturing and really think about other people's needs at the expense of our own. But what I like to talk about, just to be inclusive, is if you are a person of high responsibility. So mm-hmm. that could mean you are a woman who's juggling stuff at home, maybe a job too, and kids and a spouse and maybe aging parents and, or whatever your mm-hmm. list of ands is. If you're a person of high responsibility who has a lot on their plate, particularly when they compete with one another, this is really going to apply to you, because we see, our society looks at people in that position in a very virtuous way, right? Like, mm-hmm. look at how strong and how supportive you are. And we see that as a virtue, as being a person that others can turn to, others can depend on, and you provide such a value in that system, right? We'll just call mm-hmm. it, we'll stick with this body metaphor, in that big interconnected system, you play a critical role. P.S. This mm-hmm. is why we call you an asset in so many of our episodes, because you're an asset when you're the person who is the linchpin of that system, when you're the heart that's sending right? blood to the rest of the body.
It doesn't work without it, right? Like, it doesn't work without you.
Yeah. You take you out of that equation and that whole mm-hmm. system doesn't function as well right. or dies. Right. So selfishness is seen as this, or being selfless, being giving, putting ourselves in that position where we're giving to others, is seen as such a virtue. So by nature, the opposite of it is seen mm-hmm. as something bad or something wrong or something we should feel guilty for.
Right. Well, and that's what I think about when I start to look at, what gets in the way, and it's this, I don't want to be selfish. And we start to feel like certain things are selfish. And I like to rewind all the way back to say, preschool, when we're teaching children, share. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't be stingy. Don't be selfish. You're supposed to share. And so from early on, we get these messages that we're supposed to give to others. And to be fair, it's a really great thing a lot of the times. But, we like to say our minds are powerful, but not sophisticated. And they're constantly, from day one, looking for patterns, establishing rules. And then they make these connections. And sometimes they jump to conclusions. And so what can happen is we learn selfish, bad. And then it starts to connect things to selfish, right? Like hoarding resources. Well, that's selfish, bad. Okay. Making someone sad. Maybe that becomes a bad, and that gets interpreted as selfish. And
making somebody wait for something they want. Ooh. Oh, selfish, bad. Yeah.
Saying no.
Oh, right? Bad. Terrible. Bad. Horrible.
And so our mind starts to tell us all these things like, that's selfish, that's selfish, that's selfish. And who wants to be selfish, right? Like, I mean, as humans, we're designed to be cooperative. We're designed to be pro-social. We want to connect with people, and selfish gets in the way of that. But what we really want to talk about today is that it's not that black and white.
No,
it is not all selfish is all bad, and that it's really a little more complicated. And in some ways, but I think learning to view it in this way, kind of redefining what does selfishness actually mean, can be really freeing mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, otherwise as a high responsibility person, you're getting all these messages that you need to take care of yourself. You need to do these things, set boundaries, say no, do more. But in doing that, if you also have to struggle with the guilt that comes from feeling selfish, you're really stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm excited to dive into this concept today. One place that I want to call out, Ashley, you and I have talked about this a little bit too. There was a recent book, Glennon Doyle published this book called Untamed. And there's a lot in that book that, you know, goes into a lot of different topics that you may or may not be interested in. But she made a really interesting distinction that I think is very relevant to what we're talking about today. Particularly, she, in a way that only I think an author could do extremely well, she tore apart the word selfless. She's like, think about that. Selfless. We've been taught that being selfless is good. That's favorable. It's the right thing to do. It's honorable, virtuous, right? Selfless. But piece apart that word, which as a non-author, as like, this was mind-blowing to me because I had never thought about it. She said, selfless. The less of a sense of self you have, the better. Like, what?
You should see our faces as we're both just sort of, because it doesn't make sense, right? Like, no, not having a strong sense of self can be such a detrimental thing.
Oh, it leaves you completely unmoored. You have no stability to hang to that's internal to yourself. You're relying on everything external to give you stability if you don't have that. So I love that she ripped that word apart and she was like, are you joking? And I'm like, right? And it's probably 11 p.m. and I'm reading my book, trying not to shout as my kids are sleeping, but it was true. So if you turn that on its head, that book coupled with some really cool recent research, you know, we like to bring you guys stuff that there's data behind this stuff. Mm-hmm. There is a line of research behind this stuff that supports everything we're talking about. It's starting to show that this story is a bit more complex. Mm-hmm. So specifically today, we want to talk about something that has been coined healthy selfishness.
I got to be honest, the first time, because April, you introduced me to this body of work, and the first time you threw out this, like, hey, I came across this called healthy selfishness, and you were looking pretty jazzed about it, and I get it now, but at first, I was like, huh? What? So it's okay if that's where you guys are. Let's talk about it some, because it seems like an oxymoron, right? Like, selfishness is unhealthy. It's bad. It's wrong. But we're calling it healthy. Mm-hmm. So let's dive in and talk about what it is and why it's healthy. And honestly, this is where I just love going back to that heart metaphor, because it just makes sense, right? Of course, the heart feeds itself, because if it doesn't have oxygenated blood, if it doesn't have the resources, it can't fuel anything, right? Mm-hmm. Heart attacks kill. Mm-hmm. And that's where, so essentially the heart embodies healthy selfishness, right? It's taking care of itself so that it can take care of everything else.
Yeah. And what I thought is really great is this definition of healthy selfishness, thinking about it as the understanding that you are a human being who has needs just like everyone else. And mm-hmm. these are physical needs as well as psychological needs, emotional needs. You run the gamut. There's more than that, but I won't belabor mm-hmm. the point. You are a human being who has needs just like everyone else. And your needs are just as important as everyone else's. So this gets really interesting, because this work in the psych literature actually goes back to, you know, the late 1930s. A guy named Eric Fromm did an essay on selfishness and self-love. We'll get into that in a bit, the connection between the two. Maslow did a ton about selfishness and fulfilling our own needs when he did some of his hierarchy work. And more recently, there have been some authors, Scott Barry Kaufman. He has a really cool book that dives into this. We'll talk about it in a bit as well. But he's really gotten into studying the topic of healthy selfishness specifically. He helped coin this term. He's helping to really put the rigor around what it is and why we should care mm-hmm. so much about it. And so this work has a really robust history within the field of psychology. And I want to read just a couple of things because just heads up, kind of to ruin a bit of the punchline, we're going to talk a bit about a quiz that we recently released on the Peakmind Center website. This is a quiz that you can go and take, and it measures, one of the things it measures is healthy selfishness. I want to read just three items from that quiz just to like whet your appetite for it, to get you to mm-hmm. understand what healthy selfishness is and the degree to which it resonates with a lot of us in our lives. So the degree to which you would resonate with something like, I balance my own needs with the needs of others. I advocate for my own needs. I give myself permission to enjoy myself, even if it doesn't necessarily help others. And there are more, like mm-hmm. it gets into way more nuance than that. Mm-hmm. But if we're all being honest, are mm-hmm. we actually doing that?
Well, and I love those items, right? Because it sort of drives the point home a little bit. But I want to hit with this, that we're not actually talking about putting your needs ahead of everybody else's and disregarding other people at all. We're simply talking about including yourself in that circle of care.
Right. It's right? not like the heart is robbing blood from the brain or right. robbing blood from the lung. No, like it's doing its job. It's just making sure that it's able to do its job.
100%. And I think that's where so many people have these twisted up ideas about selfishness that have just been, you know, drilled in or snuck in throughout our lifetimes, that if we are caring for ourselves, that is selfish, it's harmful to others, it's bad. And I really want to harp on that because those thoughts are the things that drive the guilt. Mm-hmm. When we can look at it as, no, we're human beings with fundamental needs. And these are needs as in we need these in order to be okay. Not just food and safety and sleep, not just social connection. We need that. We need to feel good about ourselves. We need a chance to shine. Like some of these that are psychological, emotional, and social, they are needs that are on par with food mm-hmm. and safety. Like the physical ones that people are like, yeah, sure, I'll die without it. But loneliness registers in the brain the same way as physical pain.
Yeah. We're all experiencing pain. That right now, right? The reason why COVID is so difficult. The reason why we're experiencing what they're terming in the media as virus fatigue, like we're fatiguing out and we're starting to do risky things. People's behavior is showing how difficult it is to be solitary or alone or not have a full, vibrant life. Mm-hmm. Those are flat out needs. Otherwise, you wouldn't do risky things in order to get that cup filled.
Absolutely. Well, and I've run into a lot of people who kind of have this. It may not even be a fully articulated belief, but if we really push on it and uncover it, it's that I shouldn't need these things or those are frivolous or extras. And that's why I like to hit this point really big too. We have fundamental needs beyond food and water mm-hmm. to really, that we need these things. They are not wants. They're need and we have to recognize them. And that when they're not being met, we're not anywhere near our best. And there are very real consequences for not meeting our needs. And so I really want to hit that idea that it is selfish to take care of yourself, or yeah. it is selfish to prioritize your needs, or that you shouldn't have those needs, that they don't matter as much.
Yeah. And, you know, we mentioned just a minute ago about the connection to self-love and the connection to mm-hmm. self-trust. And I want to dive in there a little bit because imagine you've got, you know, a little kid, right? You've got a five-year-old kid who, and you're their parent. That five-year-old kid comes up to you and says, mom, in my case, mom, I'm hungry. And you're like, no, you can't have food, not now. Mom, I'm really tired. No, you can't go to sleep. Not right now. Mom, I'm really sad. No, I'm not hugging you. Not right now. We would look at that and we'd be like, that is like neglect. That's neglect. Yeah. And what would that kid learn about you? Mm-hmm. That kid would learn that you are not a person they can trust to come to get their needs fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Now put yourself in the position of that little kid. You're sitting in your body, your own self, as you're, you know, an adult, and you're realizing that you're hungry. And what you're doing to yourself is saying, no, not now. That's not important enough. I'm tired. No, not now. Not important enough. Emotionally, I'm not okay. Nope. Suck it up. Not important enough. Our self-concept and our ability to see ourselves as our own advocate and trust ourselves to meet our own needs and feel like we have this degree of self-love, like we are actually loved by ourselves. How can you expect that to be the case when you're in a neglectful relationship with yourself?
I love the way you explained that, because for me, really hopping on board with this concept of healthy selfishness and, you know, besides diving into the data, because that speaks to me, but was thinking of it as self-love. Mm-hmm. But I love including this concept of trust as well. And that's just such a beautiful explanation, because I mean, think about how many of us struggle with insecurity, mm-hmm. self-doubt, self-esteem, negative self-talk, all of these things. And we can tie it back to, I mean, can you guys see how this would be connected? If you're in a neglectful relationship with yourself, or even a harsh one, you shouldn't need food right now. What's wrong with you? That's selfish. Mm-hmm. Right? Wow.
How dare you need that comfort? Why can't you suck it up? Why can't just be tougher?
Yeah.
Would you ever say that to a little kid or to your best friend if they came to you and they were really hurting?
No.
You wouldn't. And the distinction that I want to make, that's an important one here. And I want to talk to the parents in the room for a second, because I know what it's like to have, I've got right now a 2 and a 4.5 year old. And I know they are an endless line, like they are an endless supply of requests and needs and demands. You cannot make them happy. They are perfectly unreasonable most of the time. So what we're not talking about here is, I'm not telling you like, oh, see, my 4.5 year old is asking me for something and I'm not giving it to her. That means I'm neglectful. I can't take care of my own needs. I have to respond to her. No, what I'm saying is be there for your kids, give them what they need, but recognize that your needs are just as important as theirs. And I'll give some concrete examples here of things that I did wrong in the past or that I didn't do as well as I could in the past. I would literally find that it is basic things that I had to go to the bathroom for like an hour or more. And I was putting off going to the bathroom because my kid would need something. And then I would notice that something needed to be picked up. And then this thing doesn't belong there. And then they would need something else. And then my daughter would need her diaper changed. And then the other one has this other request. And on it would roll. And all the while, I have this part of my attention that is focused on the fact that I have to use the bathroom. And I'm not paying attention to it. And one of the most basic things that I learned to do as I stumbled on this work and really got deep into it is that I started to ask myself, are you actually being neglectful if you have your kid wait for just a minute? Are you actually being neglectful? How long will it actually take you to use the bathroom? You going to be in there for 90 minutes? Probably not. It's probably going to be less than 60 seconds. Can she wait less than 60 seconds? Like that logical part of my mind that shuts itself off and is like, no, 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 go, go, go. You have to do this for them. Uh-huh. Give to them, be for them, be there for them. All of that was shutting down the ability for me to just rationally ask the question, like, really? Like you don't have 5 seconds to just go to the bathroom? And this helped me as I had my second kid and she was a baby and she would start to cry. And I knew there are times when you know you're going to be in a marathon feeding session, it's going to be a beat. And I'm like, I see you, you're crying, I'm there for you, I will be there in 30 seconds. And I'm like, it will take 30 seconds and I will go to the bathroom and I'll be with that kid there, present and able to be with her for as long as she needs me, because I took care of that tiny basic need. And we're just talking about something like using the restroom. which is so small.
But I like, that's such a good point. But what I also like is that then when you do that, right? Like you go to the bathroom, then when you go and you show up for your daughter, you're fully present. Because you can't be if you're focusing on how much you have to go.
Like, I have to pee, I have to pee.
Or how hungry you are or something. So I like this too. You know, when we're talking about healthy selfishness, it's putting your needs on par with other people's. And in doing so, it actually allows you to show up better for those people. So I actually really think if you're truly understanding the topics and you're coming at it from a very logical and methodical way, healthy selfishness is the path to being able to show up and care more and care better for others.
I have one more example that's even like more advanced example than that. We've talked about in past episodes, look for our episode on the self-care pyramid. I think I talk about this in that episode too, but I want to draw a connection between what we're talking about here and the self-care pyramid. We talk about this, what we call level two self-care, which is self-care that these are intentional activities that you do to support yourself showing up at your best. I'm not going to get into it because we talk about it in that episode. I'm not going to dive too deep there. But what I will say is one of mine is that I have a tendency to get a very cluttered mind. My to-do list spins and spins and spins. I also am not very good with calendars. And so I worry, am I forgetting something? When was that scheduled? Do I have it down? What's coming up? What's on my like all of the to-do list calendar sort of responsibility stuff swirls and gets really nasty for me. My kids also go to daycare. Toward the end of the day, as I'm finding that it's time to go pick my kids up from school, I would, regardless of whether my day was wrapped up or not, I'm like, oh, I gotta go get the kids. Like right now, it is time. Right now, I have to go get them. Like, and I would feel this sense of urgency that I needed to go get them because I'm not gonna get enough time with them that evening. I would put the need or the belief that needing to spend time with them was paramount. Right. Above my own need of having my day wrapped up and knowing what's coming the next day. Is my to-do list fully written out? Do I know what's coming the next day or the next few days? Do I feel like I have a game plan for the next day so that I can put it down? I started asking myself the same question. How long will it take you to do a brain dump and write all this stuff down and do a little bit of calendar yoga to make it all fit? What's it going to take you? 5-6 minutes? Can you do 5-6 minutes to be able to spend your evening more present with your kid? If you don't do that 5 or 6 minutes, what's it going to mean? And what I had, the harsh reality that I had to come to, and we're just bearing my stuff because I want you to know, like, you have two psychologists on the line and we screw this stuff up all the time too. what I had, the harsh reality I had to come to is I am placing more emphasis on the quantity of time I'm spending with my kids over the quality of time that I'm spending with them. I need to make sure that my mind and my to-do list and my calendar are taken care of because then I am 100% there with them and I'm thrilled to pick them up versus picking them up and having this stuff swirling in my mind. So your needs are just as important as theirs. Pump a little bit of blood into yourself so that you can go be with them. And this goes for your job or anybody else, like any of those other competing responsibilities that's on your plate.
Absolutely. I mean, so if we go like, let's take a professional world one and saying no, right? And we have this, oh, I can't say no, especially right now when everybody's stressed out, everybody's maxed out. Some, depending on your field, like folks are, they're just spread too thin and it starts to feel very selfish to say, no, I have to protect my energy and I have to protect my time because in doing that, it's going to filter over. Someone else is going to have to pick up the slack. Yes, that may happen. And my hope is that everybody else is also prioritizing their needs and practicing a little bit of healthy selfishness because one, that's what we all have to do, or burnout is a very real thing. I mean, it's there. There are a lot of professions right now that are very burned out. But we've got to be practicing this healthy selfishness and really challenging these ideas that drive the guilt and that keep us from doing that. Again, it's not selfish to take care of yourself, right? If you don't, go back to that heart. That's a heart attack. That's fatal.
Yeah. So I would love to, as we are getting to the end of this episode, talk about some practical tips. And the first one I already let out of the bag a little bit, but the first one is just literally self-awareness. I read you three items from this healthy selfishness scale. And this is the scale that's taken directly out of the research that's been published most recently on this work. I've read you three items. There are so many more that really give you a good feel and the nuance that is part of this protective factor that we're talking about. So the first thing I would encourage you to do is just really take an honest look at yourself. Take that quiz. You can go to peakmindpsychology.com/quiz. Take it for free right now. We'll give you instantly, you'll get your results. You'll see how you scored. We'll give you some resources for thinking about what your scores might mean and what you can do going forward. But it's not going to work if you're sitting here in this position where you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I don't think so. I do fine. Oh, yeah, yeah. Put yourself in a position where you just get quiet for a minute. Make yourself a priority, peakmindpsychology.com/quiz. Go in and take that quiz and be really honest. Think about those items and whether you're truly doing that on a day-to-day basis for yourself and what that might mean for that level of self-trust and self-love that you either are or maybe aren't cultivating as much as we could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you do that, build on it. I love the questions April's thrown out. Like, how long is this really going to take? I'm going to ask you to start to challenge when that pesky voice comes in and says, don't be selfish, to question it. Is this truly selfish? Mm-hmm. If I do this, am I actually causing harm to someone else?
Mm.
Chances are no. I mean, if it's a yes, fine, then do it. Don't be selfish. But if I say no, am I really causing harm to someone, or are they just not getting what they want? Mm-hmm. Disappointment's not harmful. It's unpleasant. It's not harmful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other people's reactions, any emotion they might experience, that's not harmful. It might be uncomfortable, but causing negative emotion, doing something that someone has a negative response to, does not mean that you're causing them harm.
Mm-hmm.
So question that. Am I truly being selfish, or is this just old programming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you think about, I used to have one of those jobs where my first meeting occurred on Monday morning at 8 a.m. and I got out of my last meeting on Friday afternoon at about 4. Every moment that I spent at work in between there was meetings and I was scheduled. That is not a position where I was putting myself on equal footing with everyone else who wanted a piece of me during mm-hmm. that week. I want you to look at your, as you've done this quiz, so do this quiz, get your results, look at your calendar, figure out who the important people and the important roles or projects or whatever it is on your calendar. What if you, just to start, were just a fraction of as important to yourself as those things are? What if you actually scheduled yourself on your calendar? What if you did? I want to reveal just a little bit. I have a life coach that I work with once in a while, and I am in a program with her right now that is just finishing up. But one of the things I noticed when I looked at my own calendar was that I almost felt like I'm an entrepreneur, and there are some good and bad things that come along with this. This is mm-hmm. one of the bad things. I feel like my hours and my time have a monetary value because they do. People pay me X amount of dollars for that chunk of my time. I felt like I needed to almost charge myself, or because there wasn't an ROI on those hours, that I didn't deserve to be on my own calendar. And I've decided that I get the friends and family discount. I get to have an hour here and there, totally on the house. I'm allowed to give myself that coupon. And so I started doing that. So just look at your calendar and figure out how far down the totem pole are you putting yourself. This is all self-awareness and just a nudge in the direction of starting to make yourself more of a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such a good point. And I think for me, it's more like I'd work with people one-on-one and I schedule appointments, and there for a long time was, let me accommodate you. Oh, you can't come until after work. And what I was doing by that, it was driven by, I want to help. Right? If I say no, I'm not helping this person. But it was a recipe for burnout when I was working, you know, a lot of evenings. And I realized that by setting that these are the hours that I work, and I'm not always great about this, to be fair, I've slipped some during COVID, and that's, you know, on my self-improvement agenda, but setting these are the hours that I schedule appointments, or for you guys, maybe it's take meetings or work or whatever it is. And sticking with that was really important, because otherwise the message I was giving myself, even on a subconscious level, was I'm not as important mm-hmm. as other people. Mm-hmm. I don't value myself or my time as much as other people's. The other thing is, when you set some boundaries, people will value you more. So I want to hit that. Like, our goal is to be able to show up and to help other people. We have to, this healthy selfishness is a pathway to being able to do that.
Yeah. And the last piece I would offer, so get self-aware, take that quiz, look at your calendar, mm-hmm. figure out where you're at on that list of priorities and start to nudge yourself forward. Schedule appointments with yourself so that no one can book over them. I used to, this is a confession, I used to do this at that job where I was booked Monday morning to Friday afternoon. I started booking time with myself, and I would just hide the details of those appointments. Sometimes I would even book a conference room. I just was that no one could book over it because I had a very important private appointment at that time. And it was me taking a walk a lot of the time because I just couldn't do it anymore. So self-awareness, get really honest with yourself. Start mm-hmm. to nudge yourself up in that list of priorities to show yourself that you get to be a priority too. Mm-hmm. And the last piece, which may be easier said than done, but I promise you there are ways to do it. Drop the guilt. Stop it. Like, okay. You are no good for anyone else if you are not filling yourself up. And think about that. We opened with that heart analogy because it seems so, well, duh, of course the heart needs blood in order to do its job. Of course you need sleep. Of course you need food. Of course you need to go to the bathroom. Of course you need some spaciousness in your mind and your time and your calendar. Of course you need a second to recharge. Of course you need, you know,
fun and leisure. Fun I want to throw those out. Those are entertainment. Those are needs too.
Yes.
Smaller needs, but they're needs too.
Of course you need all of those things because mm-hmm. everyone else needs it too. Mm-hmm. So you are not a bad person or weak or deficient because you need to fulfill your own needs. No. Not at all. You're just a priority like everyone else.
Absolutely. Guilt means, the purpose of guilt is to tell you you did something wrong. Sometimes we have it and it's not, it's a false alarm. Mm-hmm. It's a spam caller. And that's your job, is to say, wait a minute. Did I really do something wrong here? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to move forward.
Yeah. Cause you might not be able to, like, I can say it so flippantly, right? Like, stop feeling guilty. You can't actually stop yourself from having that emotion or that feeling, but you can check yourself and ask whether it's appropriate in that moment. Exactly. So I love what you said. Wait, do I actually have some, why, what did I do that was bad?
Is it really so wrong for me to go to the bathroom?
Like, wait, did I really? Huh?
What's the alternative? An accident? No, thanks.
So, yeah. I love it. So I really hope this episode was helpful, you guys. Like, so many of us are on the edge, if not squarely seated in the middle of burnout right now. We have a lot going on with our lives, and we wanted to give you some practical tips and also, again, direct you to that quiz, peakmindpsychology.com/quiz. We'll put that link in the episode description as well, so it makes it really easy for you to get to it. But truly, I want you to remember that heart analogy. The heart feeds mm-hmm. itself first. It is just as much of a priority, not more, but just as much of a priority as every other organ and tissue in that system. And that is you. You are the heart of that system. You are an asset to everybody you support, and you need to support yourself accordingly. One last thing that I forgot to tell you. We mentioned Scott Barry Kaufman and his work on healthy selfishness. He has an amazing book called Transcend, The New Science of Self-Actualization. I'll link to it in the episode description as well. Both of us have read it. We are trying to get him on the podcast. Email him and ask him to be on here. tell him I sent you.
Please, because he didn't respond to my request.
tell him I sent you. but his book is phenomenal. I'll link to it here. It is literally a modern day reinvention of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You'd love it. And there's a ton of this work in it. You'll leave feeling like a different person. Mm-hmm. Awesome, you guys. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. We hope this was helpful. Go take the quiz. Let us know how it's going. And we'll be back next week for another episode that is actually very related to this one that I think you'll really love. Have a good one. It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength, but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so. But today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.